As we continue to move through the Gospel of Luke, we are in chapter 6, beginning in verse 43 today. Hear the word of the Lord. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. This is God's word. Will you pray with me? Gracious Father, we pray that you would connect with us, touch us no matter where we are. Open our hearts and minds to receive your word, to discern all that you'd have for us this day. May the fruit of our lives reflect our relationship with you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, one thing I miss from living in Michigan is the fruit, especially the watermelons. You can't get good watermelons here in Alberta. You just can't, at least not like the ones in Michigan. When we lived there, we tried to grow them quite a few times, and we never really had that much luck. You know, they'd grow, and they just wouldn't be quite as sweet as you would typically hope for. Strawberries were great as well. You could get big ones. Often if you let them, they would just overwhelm your garden. I remember having to trim a whole bunch of them back after we had just sort of let them take over. Probably should have been a bit more careful about that. Every now and again, Cassie would get this urge to go to blueberry farms, right? They would have these you-pick fields. Really, the idea with that is that you would spend hours out there roaming these fields, going up and down with these baskets that they would provide for you, and you could just pick and pick and pick until your heart's content. I remember a few times spending hours out there, often to my chagrin. You pay by the pound for these as well, and I distinctly remember a time when we went there one afternoon, spending a good portion of it out there and putting these massive baskets filled to the brim up and then being shocked at the price that I was going to have to pay for those blueberries as they measured them out on the scales. Even though I probably shouldn't have been given I was the one that spent all that time out there. But one thing I was not shocked about, of course, was the fact that what I was paying for was blueberries. I mean, because, after all, the berries that we picked off these bushes were blueberry bushes. And therefore, blueberries are what they produced. A tree and its fruit. This is a metaphor that Jesus uses often. We've talked about probably the most famous of these passages that we've gone over the past few weeks that parallel this Sermon on the Plain. And just like many of the themes and teachings that we've seen before this, in those famous Matthew passages, Jesus uses this same metaphor about a tree and its fruit in Matthew chapter 7. There, beginning in verse 15, Jesus uses this metaphor to explain how to judge between a real and a false prophet. In other words, the fruit of their teaching will be displayed in their lives. This is not exactly what Luke is talking about, though. But Jesus uses this metaphor once again in Matthew chapter 12. Now, this is a bit closer to a parallel passage with our text in Luke chapter 6. Jesus, in In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus uses this metaphor to point out the importance of words. What you say shows where your heart is, and then, of course, where your treasure is as well, whether good or evil. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus is trying to convey the same sort of message. Your actions, your words, your behaviors are a reflection of what you treasure and hold on to deep inside you. They reflect your heart, is essentially what he is saying. Now, this connection begins right at the beginning of our passage. Now, it's not always translated, depending on the version of the Bible that you're reading. I read from the NIV earlier, and the word was not there at the beginning of our text. However, in the Greek, there's a simple connective word at the beginning of verse 43, and so it actually reads, "For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit." Now, why is it then important for us to use this connection or to see this connection made in this passage? Well, it's important because it connects this section with the previous section that we looked at last week, specifically this final hyperbolic parable that Jesus ended on in verse 41 through 42. "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye,' when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck out of your brother's eye." Now remember, this is a parable that is calling you to be introspective, to examine yourself and to deal with your sin before you do deal with the sins of others. Ultimately, it is a call to change, though. And you can't change if you haven't looked at how you act and what you do, and of course, what you say as well. You are the tree. Trees, bushes, vines all produce what is in their DNA, if you will. So, in keeping with that calling that Jesus is pushing for, as you examine your life, the first question you need to ask is, what kind of fruit are you producing? I can look at a tree's leaves, I can look at its bark. Even certain plants have a distinct look, and I can look at them then and guess what type of tree or plant they might be. But it becomes very obvious what kind of tree or plant it is when you look at its fruit. I know what an apple looks like. I know what a strawberry looks like, right? You probably do as well, of course. And just like I can tell in the same way, if you are acting in anger or if you are an angry or bitter person in general. A weekend or two ago, I came home after recording and I learned that several things on my honey-do list had been taken care of. Cassie had asked me to reattach a dryer vent and deal with other things. And when I walked into the house, I got this distinct smell of cleaning products and immediately saw that things were out of place in certain rooms. Well, come to find out, after getting tired of asking me, she took the time of accessing the crawl space and fixing the dryer vent herself. And she was furious with me, and rightfully so. Now, as Cassie's spouse, someone who sees the good, the bad, the ugly of her, what might I assume if she was always presenting herself as bitter, angry, and furious as a person? Well, of course, I would assume and believe that she was a bitter, angry, and furious person. After all, what else are you supposed to assume if somebody, you know, presents themselves consistently as a bitter, angry, and furious person? As one commentator puts it, fruit is the product of one's life. Now let me emphasize a subtle distinction here. You might look at a tree and see the apples growing on it, and because of the apples, you recognize it as an apple tree. In other words, you may think it's the fruit that determines the tree. But in reality, even if that tree doesn't produce fruit, it is no less an apple tree. We had these crab apple trees in the church parking lot, which of course is right in front of our house in Rocky Mountain House when we lived there. One year, it produced so many crab apples that they were just overflowing with them, so much so that we picked them up, and we had applesauce that filled our freezer for months. But then, the next year, it didn't produce a single apple. It didn't, though, all of a sudden stop, in spite of that, being a crabapple tree. Of course it didn't, right? Because it's what's inside of it, its makeup, what's at the core of that tree that causes it to produce apples. The fruit is just a byproduct of what's already there. Now the same is true for you, for me. If you are a bitter person, you will act in bitterness toward the people in your lives or the situations you find yourself in. If you're a person who craves approval, you will fall all over yourself to gain the approval of the people around you. Ever find yourself in a situation where you say something like, "That person made me so angry"? As Jesus teaches, this is absolutely not the case. Right? It's not true. Who you are at the core, what's is what produces the fruit of anger, of bitterness, or insert whatever emotion you want into here. What you produce toward others is a result of you, the tree. And it's not just about emotions either. The beginning of verse 45 says, "A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart." Now the word translated here as "good stored up" is more literally translated as "treasure." In fact, this is how the English Standard or ESV version of the Bible translates it. It says, "The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil." Now I point this out because often this idea of what we treasure, according to the scriptures, is something that we hold close to us, something that very often shapes us. And if we treasure the wrong thing, well, then it becomes an idolatry in our life. In a sense, idolatry is disordered affections. And when your affections are centered on something other than God, it will disorder everything that you do. And for instance, if your family is number one in your life, right, the number one affection that you have, you might be willing to lie for them, to cheat for them, even if only in little ways. Same with your spouse or your significant other. You might be willing to do the same for them if they are the number one affection in your life. If your reputation is the thing that you hold in the highest esteem, then you will work to preserve it at all costs, even at times to the detriment of the people around you and the relationships you have. Yet the call on your life then, whether you claim to be a Christian or not, is to hold God in the highest esteem. To center your affections on Him. We are all created for this. Because no matter what, in the end, you will center your affections on something. And when God is the center of your affections, you realize first and foremost that you need to honor Him. And so you know you should never lie or cheat, even as a means to get your family ahead, nor for your spouse or significant other. Reputation before the face of God becomes your top priority in this instance when your affections are set on Him. And so even if you might be looked down on in this life, you'll risk that in order to maintain that important reputation before God. Ultimately, our lives reflect what we believe, for good or for ill, and that is the fruit that we will bear. So here's the problem, though. The Bible teaches that in and of ourselves, we are all rotten, bad trees. That means all of the fruit that you bear will be bad fruit. No, I'm not saying that you cannot do any good in this world. That's not what I'm saying at all. We know from experience, even the most ardent atheist does good in the eyes of humanity. That's not what I'm saying. But the question is, though, whose eyes are these things that you say and that you do, whose eyes are they meant to be for? Now the answer is that they are meant for the one that you are called to hold as your ultimate treasure in your life, God, through the person and work of Jesus Christ. One of the key words in this passage is the word heart in verse 45. Now we tend to look at the word or the idea of the heart as the center of our emotions, but for the Hebrew or Greek hearer, it was more the essence of who you are, right? The core of your being. And so this is the crux of the matter. Everything you do, your words, your actions, and the way you interact with the world is a demonstration on what your heart holds dear. And yet the scriptures teach us the heart is deceitful above all things, beyond cure. Who can understand it? Now, don't get me wrong, behavior modification is a good thing. I would love for us to engage in that to some extent. But if you have bad habits, I pray that you would recognize them. If you're dealing with anger and frustration all the time as you look inward, I pray that you would do what you can to modify that behavior. A couple of weeks ago, I realized that social media was consuming my mind and shaping the way that I perceived things and the way I thought, and I didn't like it. So I cut it out, at least for a bit. Maybe that's something that you could do that would be helpful for you. Maybe you need to surround yourself with more positive people. I don't know, right? There are a bunch of things that we could modify in our habits and behaviors that could help us to instill some change in our lives. And as you examine yourself, I pray that you would make those changes. But in the end, Jesus is interested in more than just behavior modification. If your words, your deeds, your actions are ultimately for Jesus, and as a means to reflect him, to honor him in your life, then your deceitful heart must be centered on him. And so how then do we remove the deceitfulness from our hearts? The answer to that question is to trust in Jesus, to believe his gospel, to center yourself on his word, and to let that be the thing that shapes you and informs your life. The promise of the gospel is clear. Ezekiel tells us that God's promises are this, when he says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. And you, me, none of us have the ability to refresh and renew a tree that is rotting and dead on the inside. I don't care how good you are at horticulture. You don't have that ability. But Jesus does. Through his perfect life, his death on the cross in our place, and through his resurrection, he shows us that he defeats the evil and rot that is inside of us. And he shows us that by his miraculous power, he is the power to overcome this heart of stone that we have and give us a heart of flesh through his spirit. And this changes our affections so that we can focus on him, center on him, and bear good fruit in our lives before humanity and before God, most importantly. And with that in mind, I remind you to be introspective. Look inside, ask yourself, what am I motivated by? What are the central focuses of my life? And if Jesus is not number one in your life, then you need to do some serious soul searching, because everything that comes out of you will come out in a disordered fashion, because God in Christ gives you the order and focus in your life. The second is as you look inside, look at the fruit of your life. What would the people closest to you say you're about? What would they say that you are centered on? You can't hide from them. They see the good, the bad, and the ugly in your life. And so, join in community and ask them to help you see that in your life. And finally, as you see those areas in your life that need modification, make the changes. Break bad habits. Make adjustments so that you can be a better person, please. But in the end, you need to submit those areas to Jesus. You need to ask the question, how does the message of the gospel intersect with my anger, my job, my finances, or anything that could take central focus in your life? You need to ask Jesus to change your heart in light of it. Your fruit is a demonstration of what kind of tree you are. Deal with the heart problem, not just the symptoms, a cup and lay it at the feet of Jesus. You can trust that Jesus will do the heart work that needs to be done. He promises these things to all of us as we trust in Him. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are a God of grace, that you are a God who has made promises to remove the heart of stone and give the heart of flesh. Father, I pray that we would examine our lives, that we would see the fruit and recognize the type of tree that we are. Lord, maybe there are moments when we are bearing fruit in your name. I praise God for that. I pray that we would bear more. But Lord, if we are bearing fruit that doesn't honor you, I pray that you would help us to cut that out and to submit those areas to you each and every day. Grant us the wisdom and the strength to do all these things. In the name of Jesus, amen.